Welcome. Grace and peace to all of you. Let's turn in God's Word to Numbers 25. As we're turning there, just a word reminding us that we are not here because of Synod. It's only the circumstance of Synod that we can gather together. So keep that in mind as I preach and that we hear when we hear God's Word. But let's go first to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious Father, we give you praise. We are thankful that you are the God who continues to speak to us, though we are not deserving whatsoever. And Father, we ask now that you would help us, that you would bless your word. You would bless our hearing of the word. You would help us by your Holy Spirit and send down your Spirit in power. And open up our hearts that we would hear, we would have ears to hear, and eyes to see Jesus, your Son. And Father, we ask, Father, also we ask that you would help us, and you would convict us of our sin, and turn us back to Christ. If there be any here who don't know you, turn them to you, in Christ your Son, by your Spirit and Word. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Numbers 25. God's people, these are the words of the living and true God. And Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. And they called the people unto the sacrifices of their gods, and the people did eat and bow down to their gods. And Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, take all the heads of the people and hang them up before the Lord against the sun, that the fierce anger of the Lord may be turned away from Israel. And Moses said unto the judges of Israel, slay every one his men that were joined unto Baal Peor. And behold, one of the children of Israel came and brought unto his brethren a Midianitish woman in the sight of Moses, and in the sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel, who were weeping before the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, saw it, he rose up from among the congregation and took a javelin in his hand. And he went after the man of Israel into the tent and thrust both of them through, the man of Israel and the woman through her belly. So the plague was stayed from the children of Israel. And those that died in the plague were 24,000. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, hath turned my wrath away from the children of Israel, while he was zealous for my sake among them, that I consumed not the children of Israel in my jealousy. Wherefore say, behold, I give unto him my covenant of peace, and he shall have it, and his seed after him, even the covenant of an everlasting priesthood, because he was zealous for his God, and made an atonement for the children of Israel. Now the name of the Israelite that was slain, even that was slain with the Midianitish woman, was Zimri, the son of Salu, a prince of a chief house among the Simeonites. And the name of the Midianitish woman that was slain was Cozbi, the daughter of Zur. He was head over a people and of a chief house in Midian. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, vex the Midianites and smite them, for they vex you with their wiles, wherewith they have beguiled you in the matter of Peor, and in the matter of Cozbi, the daughter of a prince of Midian, their sister, which was slain in the day of the plague for Peor's sake. Those are the words of God. This evening we are looking at zeal. Zeal, it's the same word as jealousy that we also find in this passage. When we hear that the Lord, he is a jealous God, the same word, our God is zealous. And what does that mean? It means a strong, intense desire. It's used to describe sin, when it is used to describe sin, when that desire is not what the Lord's desire is, as in being jealous of someone else, envious of what they have, a covetous spirit, right? And it's that same boiling in you, that fire in the belly towards righteousness, towards the things of God, and not sin, but hating sin and loving righteousness, loving holiness. That boiling for that is zeal. That is a holy, godly jealousy. And so the question we need to ask, is there fire in your belly for the Lord's glory, for the Lord Himself? True zeal for the things of the Lord. And although most of the most of you are elders, I think here this evening, some licentiates and people like that, I wonder if there is really a fire, elders and pastors. Is there really a fire boiling in your belly for the Lord? The things of God, for Christ, for the gospel, for His word and His worship? Or is there a going through the motions? Contentedness, perhaps a lukewarmness, a laziness, a tiredness in your ministry, just trying to get through to survive. In this passage, it is Phinehas who has the zeal for the Lord. And he is not acting as a vigilante, as some might think. That is not encouraged whatsoever by this text. But he's acting with a godly zeal, a godly jealousy for Jehovah. Verse 11, Phinehas was zealous for my sake. Verse 13, because he was zealous for his God. That's exactly what Jesus himself was doing when he cleansed the temple. Fathers and brothers, and Jesus is overturning the tables, and he's taking the whip, and he's driving the sinners, the idolaters, out of the temple. That is zeal, right? Psalm 69, for the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up, and the reproaches of them that reproach thee are fallen upon me. That's the zeal of Phinehas here, and it's the zeal needed by each and every one of us, each and every one of you who are called by the Holy Spirit. Consider for a moment where we are in Numbers. Balak, king of Moab, tries to get Balaam to curse Israel, but Balaam can only bless the people of Israel. And so in the passage we learn that Balaam, in chapter 31, verse 16, chooses another path for the ruin of Israel. He works to seduce Israel so that the Lord curses them. And that's, again, found in chapter 31, verse 16. It tells us that it's Balaam here behind this. That's what we see in verse 1. And Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab, and they called the people unto the sacrifices of their gods. And the people did eat and bow down to their gods. And Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. The Lord warns so many times against intermarrying and that relationships with the nations, because they will turn from Jehovah. They'll turn from His worship. And what will they do? They'll serve those false gods of the nations. And here they're committing whoredom with the Moabite, or the Midianite women, the Moabite women. And because of this, they join themselves to Baal Peor. And Satan has many creative devices, especially to vex you, leaders of the church, under shepherds of the flock. Notice it's here, the leaders who are hung in the sight of the sun, right? And it's Satan who tempted them, verse 18. And for they vex you with their wiles, and that's the devil behind them. Ephesians 6, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The father, their father, the devil, leading the Moabitess women. And so, brothers, don't be ignorant of Satan's devices when he sends his demons to tempt you one way and he fails. Praise the Lord, he fails. And you withstand him, you resist him, and he flees from you. Guess what? He doesn't give up. He comes back and he attacks you a different way. And he comes again and again and again. If he's unable to destroy you, unable to destroy the church one way, then he will come again another way. You go through the book of Acts, beloved, there's always trouble outside the church against the church. And there's always trouble within the church against the church. We see it quite a lot. That's Satan at work, beloved. Consider it, brothers. Don't be ignorant. You look at the letters of Paul to the churches. Look at the Christ's messages to the churches in Revelation. There was always trouble. And we sit back and we think, oh, that was then. That was then. Our churches are fine. The RPCNA is fine. Our presbyteries are fine. My congregation where I minister is fine. No! It never is. It's never good enough before a holy God. Never. Do you understand that there is a war being waged right now? There is a war being waged. Satan and his demons and his children on earth are attacking us constantly. And we laze around twiddling our thumbs, thinking all is well in the camp. Meanwhile, our sons are going off committing whoredom. We're not stopping them, like the leaders of Israel, not stopping them. And there, the leaders are doing what? They're, verse 4, they're being hung from their necks. We are walking them, the children of God, we're walking them to the cliff and not warning them of the dangers. And so that's what we can do with Christ's sheep as we are kind of lackadaisical, we're lazy or complacent in our ministry. We're the shepherds, and they're the sheep, and we would not protect them from wolves because we're not heeding the warning of Jesus Christ, perhaps. This is serious, fathers and brothers. This comes not just to Israel, it comes to the church. Revelation chapter 2. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit, chapter 25, fornication. And we are supposed to learn from Israel's bad example, right? Being warned about it and from it, 1 Corinthians 10. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day, 23,000. That's this passage it's talking about. And the extra 1,000 there, verse 9, likely, verse 4, the heads of the people who were hung. Beloved, do not be ignorant of Satan's devices. He operates to destroy you, to destroy the church, your congregation, to destroy this denomination. Satan hates with an unholy zeal, with a boiling in his belly. He hates the RPCNA. He hates the church of Jesus Christ. Do you know that? Do you feel that in your belly, from your gut, that Satan hates us? He hates us. Do you know that? He only means to destroy us. Look at the passage. You see it here. It's no different than our day. You need to see this. That the Lord Jehovah, kills his people. The Lord kills people in the church. These are the leaders of Israel, the covenant people of God. Verse 4, and the Lord said unto Moses, take all the heads of the people and hang them up before the Lord against the sun, that the fierce anger of the Lord may be turned away from Israel. And they're in the midst of a plague because of this sin, and the people are dying all over the place. Verse 9 again, 24,000 of them falling. Why? Because of sin. Because of hell-loving, atrocious, wicked, idolatrous, heinous sin. They blasphemed the Lord. And what did he do? He sent serpents among them. And the many died there too. Do you remember that? And we focus, usually in that passage, we focus most of our attention on Jesus. And presume then upon perhaps his grace. And we miss the fact that the Lord kills his covenant people because he's holy, holy, holy. And man, even Christians in the church continue to sin against him. And you say, well, that was then. No, you don't get to be a dispensationalist in the RPCNA. God forbid it. Acts 5, Ananias and Sapphira lie to the Holy Spirit, and the Lord strikes them dead for their sin. If we went to 1 Corinthians 10, we would see such things in the Old Testament were given for our examples to learn from it so it doesn't happen to us. 1 Corinthians 11, the next chapter, there's some of you who are abusing the Lord's Supper, coming too freely, coming too quickly, coming too frequently to the Lord's Supper. And you're not examining yourselves. You're not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Some are sick, and others are dead. And go to Revelation 2 to 3, the two chapters there, the letters to the churches. Jesus says, if you don't repent, I will destroy you. I'll snuff out even your lampstand. Do not presume upon the grace of God. And so we must not only consider our lives as leaders in the church, consider your ways. Paul says in 1 Timothy 4, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Consider your life. Consider your doctrine. Look at the passage once again. Attempt to picture this in your mind. Whoredom erupts throughout Israel, the church. Verse 4, the Lord comes and he says, take all these leaders of the tribes and hang them facing the sun so that all will see, so all will be warned. Verse 5, and Moses said unto the judges of Israel, slay ye every one his men that were joined in the Baal Peor. And this is going on, right? Men are being hung. Men are being put to death. And here comes Zimri. Oh, Zimri, the good old boy from Simeon, a prince of the tribe, of that tribe. And who's on his arm? Cosby, the Moabitess, or the Midianitess woman, the princess. And they come in smiling, and they're on their way to Zimri's tent. And yet, the language here also indicates that he's bringing her for all the men. But he's going in first to the tent. And notice verse 6, they're hanging the leaders, the heads of the tribes, because they didn't stop the whoredom. They didn't stop the whoredom. And yes, elders, myself included, you will be held to account if you don't stop sin in your congregations, in the presbyteries, in the denomination. If you don't hold sinners to account. Zimri and Cosby coming in while the 24,000 people have fallen dead through the plague and they're being hung, some of the leaders. And these two come in, they could care less. And they come in, notice, in the sight of Moses. Moses sees them. Moses saw them in the sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel too. They all saw them. Everybody saw Zimri and Cosby going to Zimri's tent. Even while they were weeping, this congregation sees them. They're weeping over those who had died by the plague and those who were then being hung as a testimony and warning, a warning of the holiness and justice of Jehovah. Moses sees them. He does nothing. The congregation weeping, not because of their sin, but because of those who died, and they do nothing. They're focused on the death instead of on the sin that causes the death. Otherwise, they would have done something. The children of Israel saw them. They did nothing. They had all provoked the Lord to anger by whoredom and were under a plague. And here comes another round of whoredom. And they do nothing. Verse 7. And when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, saw it, he rose up from among the congregation and took a javelin in his hand. And he went after the man of Israel into the tent and thrust both of them through, the man of Israel and the woman through her belly. So the plague was stayed from the children of Israel. Praise the Lord. Was this a vigilante? Absolutely not. The Lord tells us, verse 10. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, hath turned my wrath away from the children of Israel, while he was zealous for my sake among them, that I consume not the children of Israel in my jealousy. Wherefore say, behold, I give unto him my covenant of peace, and he shall have it, and his seed after him, even the covenant of an everlasting priesthood, because he was zealous for his God and made an atonement for the children of Israel. He was zealous, and therefore he, through his line, would come the priesthood that would point us to Christ Jesus. Phinehas sees the sin and in zeal moves to destroy it. Moses and all of Israel, weeping solitude, did nothing. Phinehas is jealous. Phinehas is filled with zeal for the glory of the Lord. There was fire in his belly. He was at war with sin and the people's sin. And he was saying, no, no more. Not in Israel. And to us today, not in the church. Not in the church. We're God's covenant people. And all around us, tens of thousands are dying. No more. We must turn back to the Lord and repent. Where's our zeal? Moses and those weeping were not jealous. They're not zealous. And our duties as Christians, as elders, pastors, is to be killing sin and exalting the Savior, the King of Kings. Kill sin, or sin will be killing you, right? Killing sin, zealous for Christ. And this is how we must lead the congregation, sheep, to the sheep, the little lambs. We are the under-shepherds of Christ, and often we are acting like the little lambs. We're acting like the sheep who have no clue. Wake up, fathers and brothers. Wake up! We're at war. We're in the battle. We're fighting against the devil himself. As the devil's attacking all of our church members, he's attacking us too. We're in a battle. Not only for our souls, but for their souls. Phinehas sees the sin, and in zeal moves to destroy it. What did Phinehas do that the Lord said was so good in his zeal? He moved to kill sin. Idolatry. The first thing is that he sees the sin. Just like Moses saw the sin. Just like the congregation of Israel who were weeping saw the sin. Phinehas saw the sin. How are we to see sin ourselves? Well, we must be open to the fact that we sin. And not just say, oh yeah, we're Christians, we sin. Of course. No, but we sin. We actually sin. And the sheep sin. And you're called to do what? Throughout the scriptures, examine yourselves. Examine yourselves. You are to be like the watchman on the wall. Where is the sin? Where is the enemy going to attack today? Where is the sin in myself? Where is the sin in the congregation? Where is the sin in the presbytery? Where is the sin in our denomination? Where we are to be watchmen on the wall, but that starts with ourselves first. We must be unceasing in prayer. Lord, search me and know me. Show me my sins, our sins. But are we really doing this? Are we really doing that? Examining ourselves, Lord, search me, know me, show me my sins so that I might turn back to you. Why aren't we examining ourselves more? Sometimes we think we need to examine ourselves once a year, a couple times. But this must be a daily exercise. Why are we so opposed to the examination of our hearts as elders or pastors and examining the congregations? Because it sometimes comes back to us, right? And when we examine our congregations, that reflects on us. We need to examine our hearts, examine the congregations in our worship. That comes back upon us. For idolatry, we need to examine. Are we really being faithful in our worship? Even in the RPCNA, are we committing idolatry? Are we committing adultery against Christ, the bridegroom, our husband? Has Satan been enabled to put a veil over our eyes, the eyes of our heart? Do we believe that life in the congregation is going fairly well? And yes, there will be periods and perhaps long periods where we rejoice in the Lord and what He's doing. Praise the Lord for that. What He's doing among the sheep and what He's doing amongst the elders of the church and growing us. But do you continue in that and become complacent? And you're living in the past because the battle is today, not yesterday. Has Satan veiled your eyes? Perhaps you're not longing for true revival. That's why we're here this evening. Not longing for true revival, for the Spirit to come down in power and change our hearts and set us aflame for Christ, that we might see the salvation of our congregations, the salvation of the nations. Well, the things among the sheep are well enough for me. I'm content. And so there's nothing wrong. But to the Lord who is holy, He sees much sin in us. Much sin in us. All around us there are people turning from their faith. We see it. Turning from their covenant vows. Which is why they're in your bulletin today. Because we need to always keep reminding ourselves of the vows. Because the Lord says what? Pay your vows. We have to know our vows. We've broken our vows. Turning from the church. People who are sick. We've seen even some sadly die and not of old age. And we're weeping. We're weeping over the loss of those sinners and saints. But a plague has been sent. Most recent, COVID. How many of our churches were the people sick and some even died? It's not because of the plague. It's because of the Lord. The plague is caused and brought about. Even from that, as you look around, you can see in your own church and other churches, you hear about it, sadly. It's brought up and welled up, not zeal for the Lord, but not examination of our hearts, whether we've sinned like a plague should. But rather, it's welled up the sins of the people. And the people, the sins of the people and the sins of elders that come to the surface. And yet, even today, we're still quite content. Why? How can we be content? What does the Lord say? Even 1 Corinthians 10, we heard earlier, He gave those examples, including our passage. And He says to you this evening, now all these things happened unto them for examples. And they are written for our admonition, unto whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. You might be quite content with how things are going now. And I might be quite content with how things are going in my own congregation. And there are some bad and terrible things over here and over there. And you'd think there's no sin involved. Just bad things. And you think you stand. Everything's going pretty good. But the Lord says, take heed lest you fall. It's only, beloved, only arrogance to think we are better ourselves than Israel. Only pride to think we don't sin. Now, of course, again, we say we sin. But are you filled with the affections of wretched man that I am? Are you filled with that in your belly, in your gut? Our congregations, we might say, our worship is perfectly fine and good. Well, if you think you stand, the Lord says you will fall unless you take heed. It's only, beloved, if we turn to the Lord. Right. Proverbs says, pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. So then what must we do? We must examine ourselves daily, not every once in a while, daily. We come to the Lord's Supper, we must be preparing and actually examining our hearts in a special way, right? We must be examining our congregations as elders and shepherds of the flock. Yes, even our worship. We must be examining our presbyteries. We must be examining our denomination. We must be examining the Church of Jesus Christ. Well, there's something tragically happening in our denomination, in the church. And I'm not speaking about one presbytery or another presbytery, but examine yourselves. Examine myself. I must do this. I'm not. Think of it. What is zeal? What is zeal? Zeal is a holy jealousy for God. Where is that zeal? If we are not examining ourselves, we're never going to see that zeal. If we're never seeing our sin and turning to Christ from that sin, we're never going to see that zeal, because we're never renewing afresh that faith with Christ Jesus. Where's your jealousy for Christ? Some of you pastors and elders, you look at your own congregations and you see in worship there are sin. There are things that we do that are not exactly according to God's word. You see it, younger ministers, especially in the church, sin. But you know, if you say anything, you'll get yelled at. Some people might leave the church. Maybe you'll be asked to resign. I've been there. I've done that. Examine yourself. Do you fear man? If that's you, do you fear man? The Lord says, fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And who among you here today will be hung facing the sun for all to see? I truly hope none of you, and I truly hope not me. You pastors especially are to be heralds for the truth of Jesus Christ, to be the mouthpiece of God, not the mouthpiece of God sometimes when it's easy, and when it's hard, more of the mouthpiece of myself. No, you're to be a mouthpiece of God. And as you're faithful, the Lord will uphold you. Praise the Lord. As he did here with Phinehas. And we could go on and on with many different characters, peoples in the scriptures, Paul, even Jesus, so many times before he had to go to the cross, upheld. And do you fear man? Then pray, Lord, search my heart, show me my sins, show us our sins, and make us courageous with the zeal of the Lord for his glory. Give me a holy jealousy. And pray, pray, pray. Bring these things to your sessions, your elders. Bring these things, sessions, to your presbytery, to the synod, and pray. Where are we in sin? Well, we must turn from those idolatries. Where are we committing adultery against Christ? We must turn from them. Pray and seek the truth, for there's only what? Unity. True unity is what? Found in the truth. The truth of God's word. And then shepherd with that truth with love. Fighting a constant battle does not do away with love. Speaking in love or shepherding in love. But fighting the battle requires faithfulness to Jehovah alone and speaking the truth. Right? 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter, what a rebuke to us. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. That's love. Pastor your congregations. Shepherd them. You took vows, right? You also took vows to uphold the truth. Might some leave? I hope not. But perhaps they may. But the name of the Lord and his glory will be exalted. Should you be gentle and kind and loving and zealous for the Lord? Of course. Seek to maintain the unity that you have, Ephesians 4, in the bonds of peace. But that does not mean don't speak the truth. Don't lead and don't shepherd according to the truth and love. He doesn't say that. He says the opposite. And tonight we're meeting together for prayer, to pray for revival. Pray for the Holy Spirit and to come down in power, that the Lord would send him, that Jesus would send him. Pray for revival in our hearts. Pray for revival in our congregations. Pray for revival in the RPCNA, in the Church of Jesus Christ, in the nations, in this nation. But for such to happen, we must not only destroy the altars, we have to destroy the high places too. Reformation is needed. And how? Well, we must be about killing sin, which means we must be in prayer, examining our hearts and our lives and our worship and everything that our lives come into contact with as elders of the church, we must be examining, because we're watchmen on the wall, right? We're looking out, and we must turn from all the failures and all the sins to Christ alone. Where we see our sin, what do we need to do? When we see this sin in the congregation, when we see sin in the worship of the Lord, what do? Phinehas grabs a spear, a javelin, and he, in the zeal of the Lord, thrusts the sinners through. And so Jesus was pierced by a spear. Jesus pierced for our transgressions by his marvelous zeal and love for us. And do we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. They're weeping over the judgment, but we must learn from their example. We must be weeping over our sin. When is the last time you truly grieved over your sin and the church's sin with gut-wrenching grief and sorrow and true heartache, the tears flowing down your face? Do you know that you have a most blessed Lord and Savior? The Lord and Savior, the King of Kings, who sacrificed himself for you, died on the cross for your sins, on that cursed tree, and knowing and believing he did that for you, do you still continue in sin? Is there no grieving when you sin against him? Examine your heart. Does that not bring you to an absolute heart-wrenching, just feel horrible in your stomach, in your gut, tears? Or are you just numb and complacent? Well, I have some problems with anger, but I'll be fine. Maybe that's you. But you are to cease your passivity, Christian. You're at war. Sin is like a noxious vine. If you're in the South, you might know of a vine like kudzu that was brought in. Kudzu. It wraps itself around every vegetative plant and tree, and it kills. That's what sin does. It sucks the life out of you and kills you. You're dead. You need to fight sin. And you need to fight sin. And to do that, first you need to see the sin by examining yourself. Examine the congregations, your congregations. You've seen those sins, you turn from them. You don't accept them. You turn from them. You fight against them with zeal. You're a minister. You're an elder. You fight against those sins with zeal, with a holy jealousy for the Lord's glory. And how do you fight? Well, you need a weapon. Phinehas has a spear, a javelin. Our weapons are greater than that. We have the spiritual weapons, the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. And prayer, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Sometimes when we go to worship, we go out evangelizing that the nation would come and bow and covenant with Christ. We put our weapons away and we become these nice people. We want to invite people in. Aren't we fighting the good fight? It must be a zealous fight. Pastor, when you get in your pulpit, you're going to war. Elders, you're going to war. When you teach the Scriptures, when you go to visit the peoples in their houses, you're going to war against the devil and against sin. If we want true revival, then we must be men of prayer, spending long times in prayer, crying out to the Lord, searching our hearts, pleading that he will send a Savior, pleading that he'll send his Spirit and power and revive the church again, revive our hearts again. But there's no life in a church where there's no prayer. We'd rather sing the psalms. Love to sing the psalms. But we'd rather sing the psalms than pray. Why? Where are the prayers of the saints? And where there's no prayer, there's no turning back to Jehovah and Christ from our sins and idolatries. There's only plague and death. May it be no longer. May it be no longer. Each one of us has failed as elders. We all acknowledge this, except for the mercy of God, we would be undone, right? That's why we had that last query added recently to our ordination vows, a humble reliance upon his grace. Well, we've broken those vows, such that we should be calling for corporate repentance amongst ourselves and this denomination, as our forefathers did many times. Covenant of communicant membership broken too. We must repent. But that starts where? It starts with prayer and examining our hearts, examining our congregations, and turning back to Christ, the only Savior who will certainly receive you back again. He will always receive you back again. Think with me a few verses. Leviticus 26. "And if by these things you are not reformed by me, but walk contrary to me, then I also will walk contrary to you, and I will punish you yet 7 times for your sins." Oh, but pray, as we're called to do in Isaiah 65. It shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they're still speaking, I will hear. Praise the Lord. Isaiah 30. "Therefore the Lord will wait that he might be gracious to you." He's going to wait so he'll be gracious to us. "And therefore he will be exalted that he may have mercy on you. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all those who wait on him." And so call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. Call upon the Lord in Christ that you would know salvation. You elders all are called here to be zealous, jealous for the Lord's glory, for the Lord's truth, for Jesus and the gospel. Revelation says what? "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with the Father in his throne." There he is, our beloved, in the Song of Solomon, chapter 5. He's knocking on the door. He's sticking his hand through the door, calling to you, "Come unto me. Turn from your sin. Come to me, my bride." But let us not be in a stupor like that bride that we are in chapter 5. All comfortable in the bed. Just took a bath. We don't want to get our feet dirty. We don't want to put our clothes on. Let us not be that. But let us be moved within our bowels. Right? With the zeal for the Lord. Let us run to Jesus. When he's knocking, let us run. And he's knocking today. And we are to be zealous and repent. Be zealous and repent. You don't think you need to repent. Everything's going well. If you think you stand, take heed lest you fall. Where are we in sin? At synod? In this denomination? Where are we at sin in our presbyteries? Where are we at sin in our congregations, in our worship, in our own lives? It starts with our lives. The Lord calls you this evening, be zealous and repent. Turn to Christ for your salvation. And so what do? We must pray. So let's do so. Our Father, we're thankful for your word. We pray that you would send your Spirit in power and grant that zeal of the Lord that we see in our Savior, Jesus, who has a zeal for your worship. Give us that zeal of Phineas, who has that zeal against sin and against the wiles of the devil. And make us to know with all of our being, from our gut boiling hot with zeal, make us to know that you are a jealous God. Turn us from our sins. Cause us to see our sins. Search us out. Know us. And turn us from every wicked way. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Time of corporate prayer, we'll be looking, singing Psalms.